What a privilege it is to be able to come before your throne, come before you, sovereign God, who does care about your creatures, Father, and present to you our prayers, our petitions, our desires, knowing, Heavenly Father, that our heart's intent is that thy will be done, and that we have the faith to just trust you in whatever it is that you do. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity of coming together tonight. And now, Father, as we prepare to go into the study of your love, who and what you are, and how that love comes through and affects us in our lives, pray that your Spirit will open our eyes and we will see the things that you would have us to see. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we have come to the kindness of faith, of the spiritual love. We have come to the point that love is kind. The spiritual love is kind. And we took some time last week in noting some introductory points that, first of all, the priority of kindness to God. It is no accident that the second virtue or the second impact, the second effect of spiritual love is that love is kind. And what I want to do before we even get into it in regards to spiritual love is the priority of kindness to God, because I think that this is one aspect of love that people often do not think about and are not too much aware about, and not only in spiritual love but about God. And I want to show so many different things about this aspect of kindness and how important it is to God, therefore how important it is to God that he made it part of spiritual love. One of the things about kindness is that we're going to see is that it is an attribute of God. It is an essence of God. It is a being of God that a lot of people don't even talk about because they say, well, that has to do with love or has to do something else. I think the way that it is worded, and I'll show you that in passages, that it is actually an attribute. It is what God is. So many people concentrate on the holiness of God, they lose out on so many of the other attributes of what God is. Now, what I'd like to do tonight to take back and go back over something, because I was working on it again. I don't know why, but now I do, because I just could go on and have forgotten it, redone it, and moved on. But let's open the Bible to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. We went through it rather quickly last Wednesday night, Valentine night. But we went through it and I missed something. And I want to show you something powerful about spiritual love and kindness and dealing with other people in life. This is really powerful. And just sorry I missed it the times that I studied this passage. But just took out the text and was looking over it again. And so let's go over some things now. What we're doing is, in our study, before we get into spiritual love and long-suffering, what we're looking at is the priority of kindness, that God is kind. And once we've turned here because we wanted to know that our salvation, kindness is related to our salvation, to the salvation of mankind. But also this can be part of our study and should be part and would be part and is a part of our study of how kindness is an aspect, attribute, essence of God. So let's take a look now. Romans chapter 2, and we were looking at verse 4. Chapter 2, verse 4. People, your view of God. What is your view of God? And I say that so many times in our study. What is your view of God? This passage presents a view again about God that comes all the way from Genesis chapter 1 all the way through Scripture. All right, Romans chapter 2, and the kindness of God in providing salvation to mankind. All right, let's look first Romans 2:4, and it says, or do you think lightly? Let's go back and pick up the context once again. Remember that Romans chapters 1 through 4 deal with specifically the unbeliever. Like Romans 1, a great description, and all this, it deals with the unbeliever. And again, I just want to remind you that we must all see ourselves as described. lot of unbelieving Christians, or a lot of believing Christians like to put, boy, they're really bad people, but we weren't so bad. Yes, people, we were all, Romans chapter 1, we're all desperately wicked. And until you recognize that, you won't really appreciate the grace of God and the love of God and the kindness of God. All right, let's look now. Therefore, verse 1 of chapter 2, therefore, you are without excuse, every man of you who passes judgment, for in that you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. Oh, no, I'm not a homosexual. I'm not this. I'm not that. You missed the point. You're a lawbreaker. You don't hold up to the law. You don't hold up to the righteousness of God. Verse 2. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. And do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment upon those who practice such things and do the same thing yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Okay, now look at the flow. Or do you think lightly? And we didn't spend time on the thinking. It goes along with our study in John 5:39, dealing with the thought process of man, how man thinks about things, and what causes us to think and believe certain things. Do you think lightly? The Greek word means to think down. The Greek word for lightly means to think down. To think down towards something. It means to have contempt. Even disregard, not to have the regard for something that you ought to have. So, or do you think with contempt of the riches, look down upon, if you want to word it that way, on the riches? This word refers to all the blessings that God has in store for the believer, starting with the salvation. That's the riches. All the blessings that God has. So many rich blessings to give to mankind, starting with our redemption, our salvation. Do you think that with contempt or down on the riches of His kindness? Now, the word for kindness is Christotes. Okay, here's our word. C-H-R-E-S-T-O-T-E-S. Christotes. It is the same root. It is the same root word for the word that we're going to see where love is kind. Christuomai. And it's the same root word. So we're dealing with the same concept of this kindness. So what we're going to learn here will reinstate in our study of spiritual love. So, Christotes. Kindness, the comprehensive word for all that motivates God again in offering man salvation. We've seen the love aspect, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now we have divine kindness. There was divine love. Now we have divine kindness. Now, one might want to argue that they are the same. No. In this aspect, what we're looking at, I think we'll show you and you'll see that kindness is an attribute of God. It is an essence of the being of God. And it is also that which motivates Him to give us our salvation. When you combine the kindness of God and the love of God toward condemned, sinful, unrighteous mankind, and you combine all of these things, you get the result of our salvation, offering up of His Son, and God's kindness and God's love. Now, what we want to do here, before we even get to the study that love is kind as it flows from us toward one another, we're going to learn about kindness from God's kindness. We learn about love from God's love, the way that God loves us. Love one another as I have loved you. We're going to learn about kindness, the kindness of love, from the very attribute of God of being kind. God looked down on mankind in his sinful, wretched state, and His kindness motivated Him to provide the means of salvation. But here we're looking at something that I want to show you that came today or yesterday in my study. So let's take a look at this. God is kind. The kindness, the riches of His kindness. The genitive here is the genitive of essence. This kindness belongs to God. It is from the essence of God, the flow of the essence of His kindness. So I think if we just understand the genitive that way, we're looking at an attribute of God, who and what God is, from His kindness, the great quality of kindness, rich, full, the caliber of kindness that will provide our salvation. Or do you think likely of the riches, or look down on, or have contempt toward the riches of His kindness? Then it says, and forbearance. Then we have the word patience. Now, these are all dealing with who and what God is. But I want to concentrate on the kindness as far as this study is concerned. His kindness, His clemency, His patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance. Okay, first thing I want to do at this point is just note a few things in regard to where we are at this point. So let's note a few points if you want to take them. Let's observe a couple of things. One, God's kindness is expressed to a totally helpless and hopeless mankind. Not to a, but to helpless and hopeless mankind who are under condemnation. Now that starts us off with the kindness of love. So often kindness has to be earned by many Christians. Love is something that has to be earned. If we look at God, His kindness is expressed to man who is undeserving. No performance is necessary. The kindness is expressed to a totally helpless and hopeless people. Two, God's kindness is expressed to those who do not earn or deserve kindness. Kindness is not earned or deserved. Going to say the same thing about love, but here it's the kindness of God. It's not earned or deserved. I'm not going to be kind to you. You don't deserve kindness, people. Then you've missed the point. You've missed the point. It's just like the word mercy. Trying to come up with reasons why you ought to give mercy, then it's not mercy. It's something the person earned. Let's show mercy to somebody in prison and parole them. They've changed. They've done this. They've done that. People, they've earned in your consideration. If you want to just deal with a biblical sense of the word mercy and kindness, they don't want to deserve it. But they're going to get it. Now, what does that tell us in our relationship with one another, this kindness of love? You can't look at someone, a believer, who's hurt you and say, well, you haven't earned kindness from me. Yeah, that's only going to be to somebody who's earned it. Then you've missed the whole point. That's not love of the Holy Spirit. The love that the Holy Spirit's going to put through you is kind. So point two, the kindness of God, God's kindness is expressed to those who do not earn it or deserve it. Point three, kindness works in cooperation with His love, His patience. Works in relationship to all these things. Now, in our study, it's one of the impacts of love. But I want you to understand that don't try to always say kindness and love are the same. They're not. Kindness is a impact of love, but kindness is also a separate attribute of the very being of God. Okay. The kindness of God leads. And this is very important. Let's make it point four so that we can have a specific thing about it. The kindness of God leads to a desired result. And that's what I want to spend a few moments on tonight that we didn't really develop last week. The kindness of God leads to a desired result. Now, let's take our passage. Not knowing. One of the great problems about kindness is ignorance and not knowing how it works. What you do not know about kindness will hurt you in your life. And I'm talking about in your, even as just human beings, but mainly in the spiritual realm. People are so ignorant about kindness. They think that kindness is weakness. And we've spent some time on that. The ignorance of kindness will hurt you. Most people want you to earn kindness. And people, it's not kindness. If someone earns it, it's not kindness. Kindness is where they don't earn or deserve it. You just come and say, here's this act of kindness. We've got to understand what kindness is and what it isn't, people. Here is God, and He just said, here, I'm going to give you this. But what I want to show you is what the kindness, poor aspect of kindness is in this study. So, also, I want to point out here that another aspect, a very important principle that we need to understand at this point, not everyone is going to respond to kindness. Not everyone is going to respond to it, but people, you still offer it. God offers kindness to the whole human race. That doesn't mean the whole human race is going to just run after it. Oh, wow, kindness, let me have it. Doesn't mean that. Okay, what are we saying about our kindness? I'll just keep bringing you back to the aspect of spiritual love, because we'll build all of this in spiritual love. People you love is going to be rejected. The kindness of your love is, so you can become hardened. Well, I'm just not going to be kind. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that to this person, and then finally another person, and I'm not going to do it because I'm not getting the response I want. Kindness doesn't do that. Kindness doesn't do that. That's why I love the non-theological passage, and I found it. We'll study it at a proper time of the non-theological use of kindness in the scriptures, where Christ says that wine is kind, our same word. Why is wine considered kind? And what do we want to learn about kindness from Christ going to that demonstration of it? Wine is kind to anybody all the time. Somebody may not have the ability to appreciate wine and never will appreciate wine, but wine is still going to give its full body, its full taste. You got a good bottle, a first growth bottle of wine, Lafite Rothschild, Obreon or something, it's going to be kind, whether you understand it or not, whether you like it or not. There are people who will take a sip of a first growth and spit it out. That doesn't bother the wine. And that's what I'm trying to say about kindness. It doesn't weaken with rejection. It's still there. That's part of what the wine is all the time. If you spit it out 500 times and take it 501 times, guess what? It's still going to be kind. It's still going to have the same wonderful body, that same wonderful taste. It doesn't change. That's what we want to learn about kindness. So kindness will be rejected. Now, let me ask you something. The more I talk about that, how it doesn't change, and it's rejected and all that, where do you think that little quality is going to come from? Okay, but what have we just studied? What have we just studied? Love is?
Long-suffering.
In other words, I'm not going to change. Just because you change or you don't like it, this is what we have working now. So kindness isn't going to react if it's refused, but many people will refuse kindness. Someone says no to salvation by grace and by faith, they are refusing the kindness of God. They're saying no to the kindness of God. We saw the kindness is part of our salvation in Titus. Somebody says no. You offer them the gospel and they say no. What they're saying no to is the kindness of God. And let me go further. When someone says no to the kindness of God and restoration by faith alone, they're saying no to the kindness of God. I'll do something. I'll earn it myself. I'll work for it. I don't want the kindness of God. I will work for it. So this is what happens when people say no. So many refuse the kindness of God. Now, when a person rejects Jesus Christ, when they reject it, he doesn't say, okay, then you know, I'm taking it away and all that. No, the offer is still there. You reject Jesus Christ, you're rejecting one of the kindest acts ever extended to mankind. When a person rejects salvation, they're rejecting one of the kindest acts of God ever given to mankind. Or do you have contempt for the riches of his kindness and clemency and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God, again, we have the genitive, used to denote characteristic of God. It's a characteristic of God. Next, we have one of the most wonderful things about kindness. Take a look at it now. This is where we're going to in our study tonight. Why I want to come back here. All right. If kindness leads somewhere, do you not know or not knowing that the kindness of God leads? Now, we have the present active indicative of ago, A-G-O, which means to lead. It means to bring. Now, what's going on here if we understand this whole thing of what's happening here, not knowing that the kindness of God leads to repentance. And the word for repentance is metanoia. Now, I want to talk with you a few moments. And if you want to come back and talk with me, please do. The more I allow just the Spirit to take me, the more I'm learning about repentance. We've already did a really good study of repentance in our study of the crisis of faith. But this is really powerful. Okay, so let's see what we have now. We have the kindness of God leads to repentance. Okay, here's repentance. It leads to repentance. Metanoia-o. Now, think with me, because this is what your love is going to do to other people. Okay. Metanoia-o. Metanoia comes from the word metanoia, to change your mind. It means to a change of mind. You change your mind about something. You change your mind about, remember that this is dealing with an idea to repent, deals with the past. It deals with a past act. Okay, someone has done you wrong, and it's for our sake of study, a believer. Now, we want to fill up this void. First of all, we're long-suffering, so we're not going to react. Vengeance and all of that. Now, what is going to come out of us is kindness. Watch what's going to start happening here. Now, this word repentance in our passage deals with a past act. Repentance does nothing with what's going to happen in the future. The word doesn't mean you won't do it again. Doesn't have anything to do with the future. We saw that in our study, Crisis of Faith. But now I want to talk with you about something else. But I was just blown away with this. Call up John. We spent some time talking about it. All right, this is great. Okay. Who is the person being acted upon here? I'm sorry?
What do you mean?
Who's the person being acted? Who's the person being led? I'm sorry?
Unbeliever.
Very good.
All the believer
in application. Okay, and that's what we're going to go with. Here's the unbeliever. Okay. Now watch this. This is an unbeliever. So we're talking about the natural man. But I want to show you once again, how metanoia or repentance is not something that, you know, that God is going to act upon. This is something that God built with us when He created us. And I want to show you how powerful this is, because what I want to show you, this is the unbeliever here, the natural man that's being drawn. Now, for the worst scenario, because it's easy if it's a believer in fellowship and you're in fellowship, but let's say the believer that has hurt you, that demanded the long-suffering, is out of fellowship. Therefore, they have sinned against you. They have really hurt you wrongfully. So, they are like the unbeliever, aren't they? They're not in the power of the Spirit. They're acting as the natural man. Now, you want to get them somewhere, restore them somewhere. Watch what happens. This happens to an unbeliever, but I want you to think about it with this born-again believer that you're dealing with in spiritual love. Okay. Kindness leads the unbeliever or the natural man to repentance, to changing the mind. So what we're going to see is happening here is the effect of kindness on the natural man. This is the way God created us, people. This is phenomenal. When God created man's makeup, and we'll call it the soul. When God created the soul, the natural man, not the flesh nature and sin nature, but the flesh meaning the natural man, our soul. One of the things that He created it to do was to respond to His own kindness. So that even in the secular world, the unbeliever responds, the believer out of fellowship, or in fellowship, but we respond to kindness. Even if you have contempt about it, we don't really understand, but it leads to this repentance. So what God is doing here is this kindness that he's giving to man, and the Holy Spirit gives the gospel to the unbeliever, that kindness is going to leave that unbeliever in just his natural makeup. His natural makeup. It's no merit before God. He's not going to be saved because he repents. Not going to be saved. This is a natural makeup of man that he's going to respond so much to repentance or to kindness that he's going to change his mind. He's going to change his thinking. Now, I want to jump for just a moment again to you and this other believer. This other believer, here you are, and we're dealing with spiritual love in this aspect, so here you are. This other believer has hurt you in some way, with their tongue, with action, with some way they've hurt, maligned, attacked, sinned, all the things that we studied, all those 21 impacts against you. Well, what we want is love, not, naturally we might want them to pay for it and hurt like we hurt and all that, but in spiritual love, we want to bring about a change of thinking. They're out of fellowship. We're not going to be able to use the appeal of the spiritual realm. But what will affect them? What will affect the natural person is kindness. It's a powerful passage. Kindness has an effect on the natural makeup of man, the natural man. That is just something that is going to draw us. We don't get merit for it. God isn't going to save you for it because he made man. And this is why later on I'll show you another one of the priorities. And I've got about 10 priorities of kindness in the Bible. Do you know that heaven is described? What's heaven like? And people are always trying to... I'll tell you one thing that the Bible says heaven's like. It is forever experiencing the kindness of God. That's the way heaven's described. And I'll show you that. People are always looking for ways of describing heaven. You never hear, very rarely ever hear that one. Heaven is experiencing the kindness of God. Now think about it. That's the way he made my soul. That's the way he made your soul. My very soul is designed. That's what's going to make heaven. It's going to fulfill the very thing that which the soul is going to be drawn to. Is his kindness. And all eternity is about the soul responding to this kindness of God. Starting when we were unbelievers at the cross. And all the way through, we're just going to respond to his kindness. Our soul is designed that way. He made it from the inception, from the very beginning. That you're, as an unbeliever, part of your natural makeup is to respond to his kindness. And I just want to flow it over, and then we'll move on. Flow it over here to our lives. In our lives, we have this kindness, this spiritual love coming to you. First of all, it's long-suffering. And what's going to come out is this kindness. And we'll study, take a look at it later. But what I want you to see is when kindness is what comes out in this relationship between you and this other believer, it is this kindness that is going to draw the natural man to change their thinking about what they've done, about what's going on between you and them. When you use this kindness, not force, not threats, not vengeance, not the condemnations and all the things that the law does, but it is the kindness of God that leads us. And this is so powerful as to see what happens. How does spiritual love work? How does it bring about all the things that it brings about? How does the love of God work? Well, here's one of the ways that it works, because he's created our very soul to respond to that kindness. And when it's part of the spiritual love, to respond to that love. Can't help but respond to it. Now, will there be those who will harden and reject it? Yes. And we're taking a look on Sunday morning as one of the reasons why people will do that. But right here, we're just seeing a fundamental nature of the makeup of man. You got to go against your very natural man. You got to go against the natural man to reject the kindness of God. You've got to say, no, I do not want that kindness. You're not drawn by it. Because the very nature of man is to be drawn by this to repentance. And he doesn't say because of this. See, this is not something that has merit before God. This is the way God created it. And that's going to lead us to our faith. So a principle about kindness, here it is, kindness can actually cause someone to change their thinking. People, that's powerful. That's one of the most powerful things. We could just stop right there with our understanding of the kindness of love, and if we have said something that is so phenomenally powerful. In rearing children, in dealing with husband and wife, in dealing with family, in dealing with friends, in dealing with other believers, kindness can actually call someone to change their thinking. It's the principle of kindness. And it's not only true in our relationship with God, because I believe that it is part of the natural makeup of man, the natural makeup of man, to respond to kindness. This is why unbelievers will respond to it. This is why a carnal believer like this unbeliever will be drawn and changed because of this kindness that is demonstrated. And when we put this into spiritual love, this is what it will actually do, to get someone to respond, to calm down a situation. You can try to use force, you can do threats and all kinds of things, and they don't have the effect of what his kindness does. His kindness actually affects a change in us. You can lead with kindness. Now the problem is it's often mistaken for weakness, but you'll respond to it, it changes the whole thinking. So you can change another person's thinking by simply loving as Christ loved. You can change a person's thinking with the kindness of this love. Do you not have contempt for the riches of his kindness, clemency, and patience, not knowing that it is the kindness of God that leads you to a change of mind, to repentance, and then to faith. All right, let's summarize some of these things. One, kindness is a comprehensive word. The word used for kindness here is a comprehensive word for the motivation of God in offering to man salvation. So is love. But here is not, he didn't use the word love here. Isn't that interesting? He didn't say love here. He said kindness. Crystal taste. Different words. It's not agape. It's kindness. Kindness is a comprehensive word for the motivation of God in offering to man salvation. It is God's kindness. Point two. God's kindness is expressed to totally helpless, hopeless mankind. What I want to point out here is it is expressed to the natural man, not the spirit-filled man. It is expressed to the natural man in a hopeless and helpless situation. Three, just like before, but I want to repeat it again because we're going to add a little bit more. God's kindness is expressed to those who don't earn or deserve it. Four, and very important, the kindness of God leads to a desired result. God has a desired result. When you express spiritual love, there is a desired result, a desired impact. And we're using the word impact or effect of spiritual love. It's a force of spiritual love. Spiritual love is a force that has impact or effect. There is a desired effect when you and I go to the filling of the Spirit. We're having confrontation with a believer, having problems with a believer. We have a desired result. Not a control of that person, people. Not a control of that person. We have a desired result of God's plan. And so, therefore, it is the impact of kindness that leads to a desired result. Now, the desired result of God is ultimately our salvation. In the context of Romans. That's his desired result. His desired result for the born-again believer in sin, restoration, experientially. Being reunited with him, coming back to them, is kindness that draws you back. To believers in confrontation. People, you can't expect the one out here to do anything. It's up to you who are spiritual. Galatians chapter 6. you who are spiritual, those of you who understand what's going on, to get into the filling of the Spirit and to bring about a change in that person, bring about a change in that person's thinking. Can't do it with controlling. This is one of the things with husbands and wives, trying to control and snap back at each other, and you're this way, and you're that way, and da 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 da. Believers got to be able to stand back. I have a desire of change. Desire of change is the plan of God, not my control, not my desire, but just the relationship that God has given to us, and therefore kindness. As we're seeing here in point four, kindness of God leads to a desired result of God. God's desire, and God's desire is a change of thinking that will lead to faith, that will lead to restoration. Point five. Again, one of the biggest problems about kindness is ignorance. Not knowing. What you do not know about kindness will hurt, will interfere, will get in the way, especially between believers. So what we want to do is spend some time on this so that we are not ignorant about kindness as to what we can grasp from Scripture. Point six, kindness can be rejected. Kindness can be refused. Many people refuse kindness. It's really one of those difficult things to understand. Why would someone refuse kindness? Why would you refuse God's kindness? Many people do. Many people refuse the kindness of God at the cross. They just do not want it. And we're going to look at some of the reasons why Sunday morning. But there are people just do not want the kindness of God and reject the kindness of God just believing in Jesus Christ for salvation. All right, what is this going to tell us? Your love is not designed to control people. You don't get to control people. This is the long suffering of love and other things that we're going to study about love. What love does, though, it creates an environment where this person can respond to God's plan in this relationship. Rather than you trying to make things happen, you go to spiritual love. Spiritual love is kind. The person responds to the kindness, changes their way of thinking, and hopefully bringing about restoration that is desired. But you can refuse and reject the kindness of God, and therefore believers can reject kindness of your spiritual love and it flows into you. But don't be alarmed. They've also rejected the kindness. There are many people who reject the kindness of God at the cross, and there are many believers who reject the kindness of God in being restored simply by His work. Seven. When someone says no to the salvation by grace by faith, when someone says no to restoration by grace through faith, they are simply refusing the kindness of God. They're saying no to His kindness. No, I do not want it. No, I do not want it. Now, next point. Kindness is related often to giving. Giving being the cornerstone of Christianity. That's the word riches. The riches of God, the riches of His salvation, the riches that God has for you. It's often related to giving, some respect or another. For God so loved the world, He gave. Kindness is often, and we're going to see this in our study, kindness is often related to giving. Yes. Without thinking through the whole process, I have no problem with always. I have no problem with always. It's always related to giving. The hesitance, if I have any at all, is I don't want people to think in the material realm, that kindness is always giving something materially. It often does involve that. It often does involve sacrificial giving and these kinds of things. But the giving the giving of whatever is the giving of love itself that will bring about the restoration. So I have no problem with it is always related with giving. And we'll see these principles as we continue to relate through, as we continue to study through all of these things. God offers the riches of His salvation. He offers all this that He offers to us, and then, as I said, all through heaven. And it's just phenomenal thing what's going on here. And I wanted to spend a few moments looking back at that aspect of our study of kindness and the Romans 2 passage, so that we could get this in, because I'm going to deal with this a lot in our study of spiritual love. How spiritual love affects the change in other people. How it affects what they're doing in regard to their life. Okay, what I want to do at this point in this, well, we're out of time, and that's a good place, because I was going to start a whole new deal with you. Not a whole new one, but continue this. What I want to do is the priority of kindness, because I want you to see love is kind, and how important that is to God. This is not just something that's a nice word. This is not just a nice word. This is not just, oh, isn't that a poetically beautiful word? People, this is so much more than a poetically beautiful word when it says that love is kind. It's a powerful word. It's the first positive, overt effect of love. The first effect is inside of you. Love is long-suffering. God's love is long-suffering in you. But the second thing said is it is kind, and that is so powerfully important. And this is one of the things, this is why the problems in the whole world today are spiritual problems. People, it is not race, it is not economics, it is not all of this stuff, it is not territorial. The problems are simply a matter of no spiritual love, period. Because in spiritual love, people can have, that's what we're going to see, with not jealous and not boasting. Somebody could be just, you know, unbelievably, the economic, unbelievably wealthy. Other person, unbelievably, doesn't matter, because love is not jealous. The problem is not the things of the world. The problem is not economic. The problem is not racial. The problem is not these things that the world is still dealing with and will deal with all the way through until man comes to this realization. This is why heaven's going to be so phenomenal. People often ask, well, are there going to be divisions in heaven? Are there going to be people with great rewards? And are there going to be people this and people that? It's really a debatable issue. But you know what? Even if there is, it won't bother you no matter where you are. That's the most beautiful thing in the world. It won't bother you if you're one of the great haves in eternity or one of the great have-nots in eternity. It won't matter, because love is not jealous and love doesn't boast. It allows other people to be blessed by God without interrupting your life. It allows you to be blessed by God without you interrupting other people's lives, boasting. It's the most phenomenal thing in the world. As we'll see, it also leads to this giving. Okay, let's go. Any questions about the natural man and the effect of kindness? This is extremely theological. This is talking about the natural man and the way God made the natural man that we're seeing here. When it says that it leads him, what is it that would lead an unbeliever? How can I get into that unbeliever and change him? Well, kindness attracts the natural man. Kindness will attract you when you're out of fellowship and someone demonstrates love. You're going, why am I responding here? What's going on here? It's that kindness. And it's going to cause us, it should cause us to get back into the filling of the Spirit and then get back into that relationship that God would have. We're really going to build on that. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we learn about you tonight in these few moments we've had together. It's just so powerful. Because we know, Father, how important our view of you is. How it determines so many things that we do in life in regard to one another. Our view of you. We treat people the way we do because of our view of you. And now, Heavenly Father, we learn the priority of kindness as to who and what you are. We praise you, Father, for the God that you are. And Father, we just thank you so much that you have made another part of who and what you are, part of the love that you flow through us through your Spirit. We can demonstrate the same kind of kindness in our love. And therefore, Heavenly Father, drawing all men to your love, not to us. We know better than that. This isn't our love. This is your love. This is the love of your Son. And it draws men to that. And we praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.